genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're live every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work here in Ventura County. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is Grace Under Pressure. Ernest Hemingway coined the term grace under pressure in an interview for the New Yorker magazine way back in 1929. Each of my guests will discuss examples of grace under pressure that they've encountered. My first guest looks at ordinary men in extraordinary circumstances as a country and a city fall apart around them. He looks at the American troops as we pull out of Vietnam in 1975. We'll discuss the true story of our final hours in Vietnam from his book, Last Man Out. My second guest explains how leaders bring the best out in themselves and in others from his book, Better Under Pressure. My third guest gives us a complete compendium of manly information contained in The Gentleman's Bedside Companion so each of us can be better under pressure. And as always, if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Bob Drury is an author, co-author, or an editor of 9 different books. He's collaborated on his last 2 books with Tom Clavin. His last solo book, titled The Rescue Season, was adapted into a documentary by the History Channel. Bob has written for numerous publications, including the New York Times, Vanity Fair, Men's Journal, and GQ. He's currently a contributing editor and foreign correspondent for Men's Health magazine, and he's reported from such exotic places as Iraq, Darfur, Liberia, Afghanistan, Sarajevo, and Belfast. Bob lives in New Jersey, and joining us from New Jersey, Bob, how are you today?
Good morning, Billy. I'm delightful. How are you?
Well, I am glad to have you. Thanks so much for being a guest. Loved your book, Last Men Out, The True Story of America's Heroic Final Hours in Vietnam, because it read like a novel. If I didn't know that this was a true story, I would think that I was reading some sort of fiction, but it's an amazing thing. And I guess it just proves the old saying, Bob, that sometimes truth is stranger than fiction. When you take a look at your book, Last Man Out, you talk about the 11 soldiers that were stranded in Vietnam at the end of the Vietnam War. And these guys have to decide whether they're going to fight, whether they're going to die, or whether they're going to become prisoners of war. So set the stage for us, Bob. What's happening? Most of my listeners remember at least what we were told about Vietnam. So set the stage, April 1975.
Billy, it was chaotic. The North Vietnamese Army broke the 1970s. People forget the war was over, technically over for the United States. And these 1973 peace accords had created a kind of demilitarized zone, like similar to what we have in Korea right now. In 1975, the NVA, the North Vietnamese Army, broke those peace accords and just sluiced through South Vietnam quicker than anyone imagined, quicker than the North Vietnamese even imagined. They didn't expect to take Saigon until 1976, but lo and behold, by April 1975, they had encircled the city. They had taken Da Nang. They had taken Hue. They basically pretty much owned the country, and the only thing standing between them and Saigon were a small unit of Marine security guards who were there guarding the United States Embassy in Saigon. So the evacuation starts, and as all things, you know, you've heard the saying that the best battle plans fall apart at the first shot. Well, that's exactly what happened. The plan to evacuate by sea down the Saigon River fell apart. The plan to evacuate by fixed-wing aircraft from Tan Son Nhut Airport in Saigon fell apart when the NVA started shelling the airport making it impossible for the big American cargo planes, the C-130s, the C-14s, to get in. And so it was left to a kind of seat-of-the-pants helicopter evacuation from the 7th Fleet, which was sitting off the coast. And, I mean, there were still civilians there. The ambassador was still there. But things were just falling apart, and it was left to these Marines to keep it together and get as many people out, including themselves, as possible, before the NVA, before 150,000 NVA troops came marching into Saigon.
Wow, it's an incredible story. We're talking to Bob Drury, author of the book, I should say co-author of the book, Last Men Out. Now, Bob, tell us a little bit about these Marine Security Guards, or MSGs for short. What are they? Who are they? You know, how do they rank in the Marine Corps itself?
Kind of an elite of an elite. I mean, several people have asked me if I had anything to do with the killing of Bin Laden, because just coincidentally, I mean, it's in the news right now that these MSGs at over 150 consulates and embassies around the world are on high alert, waiting for some kind of retaliation, some kind of revenge attack. They consider themselves the elite of the elite of the Marine Corps. They, after their first four-year tour, after boot camp, after infantry school, whatever their MOS, their specialty is, whether it's artillery, whether it's infantry, whether it's intelligence, you can apply to become an MSG. And then you go through a second boot camp. It's sometimes jokingly, even disparagingly, called knife and fork school, because you'll have to learn how to behave at a diplomatic dinner. But it's also like a really mental and physical challenge. And even these guys, you have to be selected from the top of your unit, and still 30 to 40% attrition rate at the school.
Wow.
And when these guys go in, and I think the hardest part, and I know I'm getting off the subject of my book, but my starting Sunday night around 11 o'clock, my phone started ringing, my email started lighting up from current and past MSGs who, in fact, still are awaiting some kind of retaliatory attack from some jihadist country and some jihadist organization. And I think what the worst part for these guys is they are under... They are the only group in the Marine Corps who is not in the chain of command. They're under civilian leadership at the State Department. And their standing orders are, unless your life is threatened, you cannot fire your gun. And Marines, as you well know, are they're used to going on the offensive, grace under pressure, Hemingway's definition of courage. And to be sit back and have to wait, sit back, lock and load, locked and loaded, and have to wait for something to happen, it goes against everything most people feel, and it certainly goes against everything most Marines feel.
Without a doubt. We're talking to Bob Drury. Bob, now, speaking of going against what most people believe, most of us remember the last scenes, the fall of Saigon. We remember the scene of the Huey helicopter lifting off the roof of the embassy, and we remember that other scene where the Huey is actually being pushed off the aircraft carrier into the ocean. The story that we have all been told, as it turns out from your book, isn't true at all. So
no,
tell us
that
what...
That iconic photo of... That was a CIA Huey, and it was on top of... It was on a helipad on top of an apartment building that had been more or less commandeered by the CIA. And that actually left almost a day before these last Marines got out. And but it kind of... The reason that photo became so iconic, because it represents what was happening in that city. And... As I said, I mean, they were just shoving people into helicopters. The Arvin, the Americans had almost two enemies there, because the Arvin, the South Vietnamese army was so angry at being betrayed, at the fact that we cut and ran, as they put it, that they were shooting at us, and the North Vietnamese were shooting at us, and the MSGs who were on station on the ground in Saigon, they didn't have time to shoot back. They were just shoveling anyone, any American citizen, any diplomat, any third party. We had a lot of South Korean people we got out. We had a lot of Brits we got out. The French, some of them had to get out. And, of course, there were all these poor Vietnamese who had... That's one of the heartbreaking things about this story. When Tom and I first got into it, these guys were standing at the gate, their shoulders against the gate, not allowed to let anyone in, and mothers were throwing their babies over the wall. Old men were coming up in tattered South Vietnamese uniforms with letters, yellow letters, saying he served his country well. People were approaching them with bags of jewels and Krugerrands. And here's these kids. I mean, most of them were kids. Most of the MSGs today are kids, tough kids, but kids. And it broke them. It broke their hearts to have to play God and say, you can come and you can't. You can come and you can't. And I think that's one of the A lot of people ask about the word heroic in the subtitle of the book, and I don't think it's an anomaly, because these, whatever you think of the Vietnam War, the reasons we got in, whether they were right or wrong, this TikTok that we did of the final 24 hours, I don't think there's anything except heroic that can describe it.
Well, it is extraordinary. We're talking to Bob Drury, co-author of the book, The Last Man Out. Bob, I guess it begs the bigger question. Why haven't we heard more about this story up until now?
It's funny. Tom and I do books where you described kind of our MO perfectly. We like to find ordinary men who are tasked with living up to extraordinary circumstances. And our previous books were more combat-oriented. Halsey's Typhoon, The Last Stand of Fox Company, about a group of Marines in Korea who just did extraordinary things on top of a Fox Hill. But in this case, it's more of a character study. And I think one of the reasons, what we find when we interview, it's interviewing these guys, no matter which book we're talking about, it's like Hansel and Gretel following the breadcrumbs. Joe Smith in Oklahoma will tell us just a jaw-dropping story. Jaw-dropping. And he'll say at the end, it's like, but that's nothing. You should talk to Charlie Jones up in Minneapolis. And so it's like following the breadcrumbs. And these guys don't talk about it, whether it was World War II, whether it was Korea, or in this case, Vietnam. Several of them told us, well, I'll have to think about whether I want to tell you my story. And we figured out, we're not going to get this guy. 2 days later, he'll call back and say, okay, fly on down to Dallas, and I'll give you the straight poop. We'll tell you everything that happened, as long as you get it right. And we'll meet the man, and he'll say, what took you so long to say yes? He said, well, I figure if I was going to talk to reporters, I better tell my family first. I mean, they've just kept it inside. And it was such, and I also think it was something that the United States kind of just wanted to move forward from as quickly as possible. It was not our
country. That's true. We're talking to Bob Drury, co-author of the book Last Man Out, The True Story of America's Heroic Final Hours in Vietnam. And Bob, in doing the research, you discovered how these 11 men are viewed within the U.S. Marine Corps itself. Tell us a little bit about how they're revered within the Corps.
We were at several anniversary parties last year for the 35th anniversary of the fall of Saigon and the evacuation. And when young Marines find out who these guys are, I mean, they just snapped to attention. And these guys, they weren't big. Many of them spent careers in the Corps, but they were non-coms. They were Lance Corporals. They were corporals. They were privates. And yet, when Marines A find out they were MSGs in Vietnam, and B find out they were the last 11 Marines trapped on the roof, wondering if they were going to get off, wondering if they were forgotten about. Henry Kissinger gave a press conference and said all Marines, all Americans who wanted to be out were out of South Vietnam, and these guys were still trapped on the roof. They took a vote whether they're going to fight or die, and this is lore within the Corps. And when Marines find out that who these guys are, it's almost they have rock star. Whatever the military equivalent of rock star aura is, that's what these guys have.
That is amazing. And you say the book is a character study. I would have to agree with you. Let me just run down some of the list of characters there. Captain Jim Keane, Master Sergeant John Valdez, the U.S. Consulate Francis Terry McNamara, General Richard Carey, and Captain Jerry Berry. Now, first question for you. Terry McNamara, was he related to Robert McNamara?
No, he was not. He was kind of a swashbuckling bon vivant. The only other capital province that hadn't been captured by the North Vietnamese was about 100 miles southeast of Saigon, Canto. And Terry McNamara had served in the Congo during the Civil War. He had been in hot spots. He had been in Vietnam up at Da Nang. He knew that the plan was going to fall apart, so it was Terry and the Pirates. He had his own little slush fund. He bought three ferries, and that's how he planned with his small contingent of MSGs. He only had six down in Canto. He rounded up all the Vietnamese who had worked for the Americans, put his whole staff on these boats, and they made a river run down the River of Pearls. It was a tributary of the Mekong, all the way to the South China Sea. And Steve Hasty, who we interviewed, who was the NCO, the non-commissioned officer in charge of that Canto contingent, he said, I had a list of things that I was worried about. North Vietnamese, South Vietnamese being angry at us, pirates, shoals, bad weather, and firefights. And we hit every one of them.
Amazing. Another character was Captain Jerry Berry, who was the pilot. Tell me a little bit about him, please.
Jerry today, I've met Jerry, and I have become friends. He is he's movie star handsome. I mean, you look at that photo in the book. He hasn't changed a bit. I don't know. He must have a picture, like a portrait hanging in his closet somewhere in his attic of Dorian Gray type stature. he flew for 18 hours. flew for 18 hours out of the 20-hour evacuation without stopping. I think once somebody handed him a cup of coffee and a sandwich through his his pilot's window. And, there's just so many stories to tell about Jerry, but my favorite is the ambassador wouldn't leave. Ambassador Graham Martin, he was the U.S. ambassador to South Vietnam. He was a little bit deluded. I will say the man was sick. He was physically sick. He was mentally exhausted, but he just wouldn't leave. He thought that he could, at the last moment, enact some kind of negotiation. And Jerry Berry was ordered to get the ambassador out of there. At 3 in the morning, he didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to use. It was a Marine captain standing up to an ambassador from the United States. And he faked. He faked a letter from President Ford, a presidential order, saying, Ambassador, I'm not leaving this roof until you're on this bird. And he didn't know if he was going to be court-martialed or lauded when he got the ambassador back. But that's how he got the ambassador out.
That's an incredible story. We're talking to Bob Drury, co-author of Last Men Out, the true story of America's heroic final hours in Vietnam. And, Bob, what do you want readers to take away from reading Last Men Out?
Well, I can't say I want them to take away righteous thoughts about the Vietnam War, because I think even the Marines that were involved in this book, when they look back at it now, there are certain of them that say we should have gone all in, but I think they realize it was a civil war that we probably should have never involved ourselves in. That's easy to say in hindsight, but if someone reads this book, I would like them to take away that the character of the men that we profile, their actions, their thoughts, they were very, they shared with us their most inner thoughts, and they were just tremendous with us, once again, with the caveat, as long as we got the story right. And I would like readers to take away that these are the kind of, and I don't forget, they were kids in 1975, just like they're kids right now over in Afghanistan and over in Iraq, and that these are the kind of kids we're sending into mortal danger.
Wow, well said. We've been talking to Bob Drury, co-author of the book Last Men Out, America's True Story of Heroic Final Hours in Vietnam. Bob, if people are interested, they like the story, they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
First place I'd say is go to the Fall of Saigon Association. The MSGs came out. There's an MSG Association where it gives you everything you wanted to know about Marine security guards. And then the Fall of Saigon Association, which the president, vice president, and treasurer, it was started by these final 11 MSGs out. I think there's some wonderful stories on both those sites.
That is great. Bob, thank you so much for being our special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Billy, it was my pleasure. Thank you.
Take care.